Vishnu Pāpa Namaham Sparivrāja Vicharaya Shukra Shuttu Shri Shri Māra Sivāyankai Shri Prabhupāri Ki Grantara Shri Mābhāvatam Ki Gaura Pramanandi All glories to this and the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitamyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalputurubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare Hare O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Text 20. Mam Keshavo Gadhaya Pratar Avyad. For real? Mam Keshavo Gadhaya Pratar Avyad. Govinda Asangavam Atavenu. Narayana prana udhata shaktir. Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani. Hare Krishna. Mam Keshavo Gadhaya Prataravyad. Govinda Asangavam Atavenu Narayana Pranarudhata Shaktir Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani. Mam Keshavo Gadhaya Pratar Avyad. Govinda Asangavam Narayana Pranarudhata Shaktir Madhyandine Vishnur Arindrapani. Mothers. Mam Keshavo Gadhaya Pratar Avyad. Govinda Asangavam Atavenu Narayana Pranarudhata Shaktir Madhyandine Vishnurarindrapani. Mom, me, Keshava, Lord Keshava, Gadaya, by his club. Prata, in the morning hours, Avyat, may he protect Govinda, Lord Govinda, Asangavam, during the second part of the day, Atavenu, holding his flute, Narayana, Lord Narayana with four hands, Prana, during the third part of the day, Udata Shakti, controlling different types of potencies, Madhyam Dine, during the fourth part of the day, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Arindrapani, bearing the disc in his hand to kill the demons. Translation for Purba Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, may Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day, and may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayana, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Purport, according to the Vedic astronomical calculations, day and night are each divided into 30 gatikas, 24 minutes, instead of 12 hours. Generally, each day and night is divided into six parts consisting of five gatikas. And each of these six portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protection according to different names. Lord Keshava, the proprietor of the holy place of Mathura, is the Lord of the first portion of the day. And Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, is the master of the second portion. And then the subsequent verses, next two verses, are praying to other deities who are presiding over the different periods of the day. So in the different periods of the day, one can pray to the Lord for his protection. Any questions about this? Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
These prayers for me seem like very spiritual, so maybe I should every day recite in the morning.
If you like. it's not bad for you, certainly. Your prayer is consisting of the names of the Lord. And in a certain sense, we also do this by chanting every morning 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Those, of course, are, there's no, they're not less spiritual than the Narayan Kavacha. I was hearing Dhanavir Goswami Maharaj, he was telling us a story about this Narayan Kavacha. He said when he was in Africa, and he was doing some sort of program there, I forget what exactly the program was, but apparently there were some people who were threatening the devotees that time. So he got really nervous about it, he was describing. And so he said he went to the sixth canto and started reciting these Narayan Kavacha mantras in order to get protection from this antagonistic element that was during their preaching in Africa. And then he said afterwards, nothing actually happened. And so he said he felt bad that he didn't have enough faith in Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to chant the Maha Mantra. He said, I felt like I needed something extra. So I went to these Narayan Kavacha mantras. He was kind of jokingly telling us that he felt bad in his humility. He said, I felt bad that I didn't have enough faith that the Maha Mantra would give sufficient protection. So I had to chant these Narayan Kavacha mantras. Anyway, that story came to mind. I thought it was funny. So the Maha Mantra is not less spiritual. Of course, one can chant these mantras or any of the prayers of the Bhagavatam. It's one of the regulative principles of devotional service out of the 64. One of them is to recite like stavas and prayers. This is different from Vignapti. Vignapti is also a prayer to the Lord, but it's one that is kind of coming from your own heart and offering a prayer to the Lord. Whereas there's another regular principle which says resuscitation, which is like offering the prayers that are already given in the Bhagavatam, these stavas, these kavacha mantras, and so on. I used to chant the Nishinga Kavacha mantra three times, actually nine times in a day. We would do it three times before Mangalarti, then we would do three times on the train for the benefit of everyone, and three times on the train ride coming back, myself and Revati Nandana Prabhu. I was obliged to do it. He was my block the leader at a time. So we would do it three times. We would stand in front of the Nisshinga picture in the morning time and three times chant the Nisshinga Kavacha, which is very similar to this prayer, praying for protection of all the lambs, different parts of the day, and different places and so on. Very similar, but it was addressing Lord Nisshinga Day. And so we used to do that. That was nice. I did that for about a year and a half with Rivatinandan Prabhu. That was very nice. 32 slokas were there. So one can do that. It depends on your particular taste in devotional service. Okay, anything else? I'll move on to the next verse. I could just read. It's a lot of verses, and most of them don't have purports. So the next two verses are praying to the other deities of the different parts of the day. So this is text 21. Translation. My Lord Madhusundana, who carries a bow very fearful for the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day. In the evening, may Lord Madhava, appearing as Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, protect me. And in the beginning of night, may Lord Hrishikesha protect me. At the dead of night, in the second and third parts of night, may Lord Padmanabha alone protect me. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears his Sri Vatsa on his chest, protect me after midnight until the sky becomes pinkish. May Lord Janardana, who carries a sword in his hand, protect me at the end of night, during the last four gatikas of night. May Lord Damodara protect me in the early morning, and may Lord Visheshwara protect me during the junction of day and night. Okay, now the next prayers are being offered to the Lord's chakra, which is very deadly for the demons. These don't have purports either. So starting with verse 23, I think there are four prayers being offered to the Lord's chakra, Sudarshan chakra. Translation, set into motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wandering in all the four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges as destructive as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. Sounds scary. As a blazing fire burns dry grass to ashes with the assistance of the breeze, may that Sudarshan chakra burn our enemies to ashes. O club, in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you are extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me pound to pieces the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vainayakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. This mantra's got a particular spirit to it. Very suitable for Indra's purposes. Next one. Oh, best of the conscious. So actually, these prayers are being offered to the Lord's paraphernalia, the chakra, the gada, club, the Lord's conch shell. This next verse. Oh, best of conch shells, O Panchajanya, in the hand of the Lord, you are always filled with the breath of Lord Krishna. That's sweet. Therefore, you create a fearful sound vibration that causes trembling in the hearts of enemies, like the Rakshasas, Pramata ghosts, Pretas, Matas, Pishachas, and Brahmana ghosts with fearful eyes. That reminds you of Bhagavad Gita, doesn't it? When Krishna blew his transcendental conch shell and all the Kaurava army became stricken with fear. When they blew their conch shells, the Bhagavad Gita says the sound was loud. But when Krishna blew his conch shell, followed by the Pandavas, it struck fear into the hearts of the Kaurava army. Why? Because the conch shell is filled with the breath of Krishna. That was sweet. Next verse. O king of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please cut the soldiers of my enemies to pieces. Please cut them to pieces. That's pretty emphatic. O shield marked with 100 billion moon-like circles, please cover the eyes of the sinful enemies. Pluck out their sinful eyes. It's intense, huh? It's an intense mantra. Next verse. May the glorification of the transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect us from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air. And may it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is interesting to know that these prayers don't seem very much in the mood of pure devotional service. Because when we hear about the pure devotional standard, as discussed by Rupa Goswami and Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, the mentality of the devotee when dealing with obstacles in life is not to see them antagonistically, but rather to see it as something that was well-deserved. And perhaps deserving, I deserved even worse than that, but Krishna was so kind that he did not, he reduced the actual reaction I was supposed to receive. And while tolerating those reactions, continuing to offer one's body, mind, and heart to the Supreme Lord. When Rupa Goswami begins to discuss the mental practices for a devotee, the regular principles, the mental practices are there, then the one is accepting Krishna's mercy. And the verse that is quoted for that is Tate Nukampam Sukshamikshamano, a very famous verse, Bunjane Vatmakritam Vipakam. The verse I just described it. So these prayers seem a little bit not exactly in the pure devotional mood, although they're filled with the names of the Lord, which is certainly purifying. But praying to pluck out the enemies and eyeballs and pulverize them and cut them to pieces, just like a blazing fire burns dry grass. It's not exactly the pure devotional spirit. You see, Ambarish Maharaj, when there was a demon, a fire demon chasing, you know the story, of course, where Devrasa Muni makes an offense to Ambarish. Apparently Ambarish was a king, and Devrasa Muni is offended by him, so Devrasa Muni pulls out his sika, at least a part of it, and creates a fire demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj didn't even get disturbed by that. And he just began to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, saying this is another manifestation of the Lord's mercy. At that time, the Sudarshan Chakra did come and kill that demon, but he never prayed for that. In fact, after the Sudarshan Chakra killed the demon, then it went to do a number on Devrasa Muni also. So Devrasa Muni had to fly away. And I guess for the Lord's pastime, Devrasa Muni flies up to Brahmaloka, then to Shiva Loka. And then Devrasa Muni is even allowed entrance into Vaikuntha Loka so that the Lord can explain to him the position of the devotee. At which time Devrasa Muni goes back to Ambarish Maharaj and seeks shelter of Ambarish Maharaj from the weapon of Sudarshan, the Sudarshan weapon. At that time, Ambarish Maharaj offers prayers to save Devrasa Muni. Here you have a kind of a different sort of spirit here. This seems a little bit not the pure devotional spirit. But like I said, it's very suited for Indra's purposes in conquering over the demons. So this is the next verse. Lord Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is the most worshipable Lord, for he is powerful as the Supreme Lord himself. He is a personified Vedas and is worshipped by selected verses. May he protect us from all dangerous conditions, and may Lord Vishwaksena, the personality of Godhead, also protect us from all dangers by his holy names. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead's holy names, his transcendental forms, his carriers, and all the weapons decorating him as personal associates protect our intelligence, senses, mind, and life heirs from all dangers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are various associates of the transcendental personality of Godhead, and his weapons and carrier are among them. In the spiritual world, nothing is material. The sword, bow, club, disc, and everything decorating the personal body of the Lord are spiritual living force. Therefore, the Lord is called Advaita Gyan, indicating that there is no difference between him and his names, forms, qualities, weapons, and so on. Anything pertaining to him is in the same category of spiritual existence. They are all engaged in the service of the Lord in varieties of spiritual forms. Understand? So all of Krishna's paraphernalia are various associates of the Lord. They all have personified forms. Like I've mentioned oftentimes, in the spiritual world, the forms are not limited like our forms in the material world. like whatever you were born with, that's what you got, and you have to deal with it and offer that to the Supreme Lord. But in the spiritual world, they can actually change their forms in order to serve the Lord. They can take on all variety of forms in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so we're hearing this now. So all of the swords and the club, these are all associates of the Lord who take on these various forms in order to render service to the Supreme Lord. They're all in the spiritual category. Such is the inconceivable nature of the spiritual world. Anyone wants a question? Yeah.
Brahman ghosts are kind of in the same category as the Rakshasas and other demoniac forces. So, I mean, in other verses, he's like wants to smash them, but then in this verse, it's just creating fear. So, do you read? Are you familiar with this? The Brahman ghosts with fearful eyes. So they're kind of. They're really not as bad as the Rakshasas, but they're in that category because they're in that verse.
Yeah.
Did you note that?
I mean, I noticed it. I didn't give it much importance. But.
I mean, you would think they would be given a little reprieve if they're in Brahman classification. I don't know. Does that make sense to you?
I don't know. A ghost is a ghost, I guess.
I mean, they're not as bad as the Rakshasas.
I don't know. I don't have personal experience. Maybe that's something we can look up if it's of great importance for anyone. If I have to be haunted by a ghost, maybe a Brahmin ghost. I don't know. That's the spirit. All right, so where are we at? Any other comment? Text 31, then. The subtle and gross cosmic manifestation is material, but nevertheless, it is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is ultimately the cause of all causes, cause and effect are factually one, because the cause is present in the effect. Therefore, the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can destroy all of our dangers by any of his potent parts. This philosophy is called the Sakaryavada, where the effect is present in the cause, and the cause is present in the effect. So in relation to the Supreme Lord, that makes sense because Krishna is the cause of all causes. So then everything is extending from his personhood, from his swarup. And they're all non-different from him because they're extensions of his potency. And therefore, it can be said that the effect was present in Krishna before the manifestation of anything. And then after everything gets manifested, that's the effect, then Krishna is also present in the effect because he's non-different from his Shakti. Shakti and Shaktiman are non-different. So therefore, Krishna being present everywhere because the cause is present in the effect being the material existence and Krishna being the cause. Since Krishna is actually present anywhere, then he can at any place and any time make any arrangement for the protection of his devotee. It's not like he has to... Just like when we hear the Paritranaya Sadhunam verse, it's not like Krishna has to come running from the spiritual world in order to protect his devotee. He can manifest anywhere. Oh, a good example, of course, like Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyakashipu asked him, is your Lord present in the pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he's present in the pillar. And then Hiranyakashipu broke open the pillar, and what happened? Nisshingadev manifested. So the Lord can manifest anywhere, anytime, because he's present in everywhere. Everywhere being the effect of his energies coming from his swarup. Like that. Next verse. Text 32-33. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entities, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the entire creation are all individual substances. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One, the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity and diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, his name, his fame, his attributes and forms, and the weapons in his hand are manifestations of the strength of his potency. According to their elevated spiritual understanding, the omniscient Lord, who manifests various forms, is present everywhere. May he always protect us everywhere from all calamities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A person highly elevated in spiritual knowledge knows that nothing exists but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 4, where Lord Krishna says, Maya tatam idam sarvam, indicating that everything we see is an expansion of his energy. This is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana, Ekadesha stitasyagnir jyotsna vistarini yata parasya brahmana shaktis tate idam akilam jagat. As a fire, although existing in one place, can expand its light and heat everywhere, so the omnipotent Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated in his spiritual abode, expands himself everywhere in both the material and spiritual worlds by his various energies. Since both cause and effect are the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between cause and effect. Consequently, the ornaments and the weapons of the Lord, being expansions of his spiritual energy, are not different from him. There is no difference between the Lord and his variously presented energies. This is also confirmed in the Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nityamukto Abhinatvan Namanamino. The holy name of the Lord is fully identical with the Lord, not partially. The word Purna means complete. The Lord is omnipotent and omniscient, and similarly, his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to him are complete, pure, eternal, and free from material contamination. The prayer to the ornaments and carriers of the Lord is not false, for they are as good as the Lord. Since the Lord is all-pervasive, he exists in everything, and everything exists in him. Therefore, even worship of the Lord's weapons or ornaments has the same potency as worship of the Lord. Mayavadis refuse to accept the form of the Lord, or they say that the form of the Lord is Maya or false, but one should note very carefully that this is not acceptable. Although the Lord's original form and his impersonal expansion are one, the Lord maintains his form, qualities, and abode eternally. Therefore, this prayer says, Patu sarvai sarupayar nasadar savatra sarvaga. Quote, may the Lord, who is all-pervasive in his various forms, protect us everywhere. End quote. The Lord is always present everywhere by his name, form, qualities, attributes, and paraphernalia, and they all have equal power to protect the devotees. Srila Madhvacharya explains this as follows, Eka eva puro vishnur, ushaheti, dujeshwaja, tat tach chakti pradatvena swayam eva, yavastita, satye nanena mam deva, patu sarveshwaro hari. And no translation for that, so... so any questions about this? Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lord. On this point, could we say we give emphasis to the difference?
Yes. I mean, we as devotees.
Yeah.
Yes.
That, okay.
Any other comments, questions? You know, the egalitarian is more like a pantheism than it is spiritual vision. Here is mentioning that those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are able to see God everywhere, not those who are on the platform of material identification. I oftentimes, when students would come to, these high school students, college students would come to our temple, and they would say, God is everywhere. And I would say, no, he's not. Even though they said, but your own philosophy is saying that God is everywhere. I said, I don't agree with that. I used to challenge in this way. I said, I don't agree that God is everywhere. Is this still on? God is not everywhere, at least. What did you turn it down or something? Huh? Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. So I said, God is not everywhere. Not for you. Otherwise, I give the example. God is in the brothel also, brothel house. You know what is brothel house, right? Prostitute house. God is there, and God is also in the cinema. But do you go to those places to find God? And I remember once a young boy, he had also come here, saying the same thing, God is everywhere. I said, God is not everywhere. He said, in the class itself, the speaker was saying that God is everywhere. I said, I don't agree with that. Then I said, okay, if God is everywhere, if you're really aware that God is everywhere, then how can you do illicit sex? I don't know how I asked him that question. He was a guest also. And I said, how is it that you're able to do it? If you really were confident that God was there looking at you, then how would you feel comfortable performing illicit sex? He got bewildered. He didn't know what to say, how to answer that question. And I was also, after I asked, I was like, why ask that? What type of example is that? Anyway, the point is that it's mentioning here that those who are spiritually advanced, they can see that God is everywhere, not those who are still identifying with the material body. The so-called vision of oneness that is very popular today is just to support their attraction for sense enjoyment. But they actually have the vision that God is manifesting everywhere, that everything is really a form in the Supreme Lord, the Lord coming to me in a particular way for his own purposes and so on. One has to be endowed with great spiritual wisdom. And also, a part of that wisdom will be able to recognize the different forms in which Krishna is manifesting himself and to respond accordingly to those different forms. Just like when Krishna comes in the form of a curse of a Brahmin boy for Parikshit Maharaj, that particular form of the Supreme Lord, as he expresses it, demands a certain sort of reciprocation. And Parikshit Maharaj reciprocated accordingly by giving up his kingdom and then going to the bank of the Ganga to hear the Bhagavatam for 7 days and perfect his life. So being able to see the Lord manifesting in so many different ways requires, not only does it require wisdom to have that vision, but it also requires wisdom to understand in which way you're to interact with those different manifestations of the Lord. So it is the result of advanced spiritual knowledge, not the result of a mental sentiment that everything is one. On the material, I remember we did a program at Northwestern last year called All Men Are Not Created Equal. And it was nice. I thought it was a good topic. And it's one that should be explored more, you know, certain types of topics like that. And we got a few students that came, maybe about 10 or 15, but a couple of them came just because they saw the title. They didn't know exactly what was Bhakti Yoga Society. But they came just because of the title. And the picture had like a fat person, a skinny person. Like Krishna had this really cool picture that she had made. And it was called All Men Are Not Created Equal. And the whole purpose was that the idea of equality is a spiritual insight, but it's not a material fact. That was the opening of the statement and I made a Venn diagram. You know what is a Venn diagram, right? These two circles intersect. And on one side of the diagram, I put our ideals, and on the other side of the diagram, I put reality. And so the ideal that we are equal, I said, this is the ideal, this is a spiritual insight, but the reality is this. And then I was giving different sort of differences that we see in the material nature. So how do we reconcile our highest ideals with our real reality that we're dealing with, where there is definitely inequality there? And the only way you can really do that, at that time I was presenting like Varnashram, I think, as a reconciliation, how the differences are actually glorious. Just the way, in the same way that the differences of our bodily limbs actually helps for the body to function beautifully. If all the limbs of the body did exactly the same thing, that would be problematic. Right? So the fact that the arms do something different than the legs, do something different than the stomach, is actually beautiful. The difference is actually beautiful. And to try to artificially say it's all one, they should all be the same thing or in the same way would be artificial. So there can be a beauty in the difference. And then the oneness is a spiritual insight. We're all conscious entities, we're spirit souls, and so on. Anyway, in context of what's being said here, how do we reconcile the ideal of the oneness of everything with Krishna being a manifestation of Vishakti and the actual real difference that we see? So that requires wisdom. Just like Krishna speaking in Bhagavad Gita about, it is a person in knowledge who knows how to engage violence in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. When speaking about engaging in violence. So Krishna said, it is a person who is in knowledge who can actually engage in violent acts like fighting in a war in the case of Arjuna without receiving any reaction from that. So the cultivation of spiritual knowledge is the criteria for having such high spiritual perspective. And not just, I feel like everything is one, and then, you know, based on a sentiment, trying to establish a society. Obviously, we see it's not very successful. Although, they're trying, in one sense, you can say it's commendable because of the nastiness that has come up from people underscoring difference so much. So on the one hand, you can see where they're coming from. You can see the commendable nature of trying to establish a sense of oneness amongst us so we'll stop all our petty quarreling. At the same time, Prabhupada says, I think in the Isha Upanishad, that they acknowledge the demoniac situation without accepting the process to become free from the demoniac situation. I think in Mantra 10, Prabhupada speaks like this. So they accepted that the demoniac situation in context created by seeing so many differences is creating a troubling situation. But then they don't want to accept the austerity, like Bahavo Gana Tapasa, Putama Bhava Magata. Krishna said the austerity of knowledge, the austerity of actually gaining proper wisdom and then subsequently living according to that wisdom, not just like fortune cookie wisdom that you just kind of read off to your friends or something. We were at this conscious living program. And there was this Brahma Kumaris, there was this group, Brahma Kumaris there. And they had this like Wheel of Fortune type of wheel. And it had all sorts of wonderful qualities mentioned on it, like enthusiasm, sweetness, compassion, like this. So then you spin the wheel. Like, so Shravan, he spun the wheel first, and it went around, and then it landed on sweetness. So it said, Shravan, they said, you are full of sweetness. And then they said, why don't you give it? I wasn't going to do it. I was just laughing. I thought the whole thing was a joke. And then he said, why don't you try? So I also spent a thing. And mine landed on enthusiasm, which reminded me of my spiritual master. Because he told me to be, he always used to tell me to be enthusiastic. So in that sense, I took it in a positive way. I said, oh, this is reminding me of my spiritual master. But then after we spin the wheel, they gave us like a little card with this like fortune cookie wisdom on it. You know, you're full of magnanimity and love and compassion, and extend that to others. This sort of thing on the. And I was like, what is this? This is just sheer trash, you know. And just kind of ripped it up and threw it in the garbage. And so the point is that Krishna speaks in the Gita, Bahavo Gana Tapasa. There's an austerity of knowledge that you have to go through. The austerity of learning the wisdom from proper sources, and then the austerity of living according to that wisdom. And when you live according to that wisdom, then you get the spiritual vision. How everything is really Krishna interacting. So then you see that things happen in devotees' lives, devotees who are endowed with spiritual wisdom. Then they say it's Krishna's mercy. They can really see Krishna's mercy in it. And the neophytes, we also, by dint of association, we've developed a jargon. And something happens to us, we also say Krishna's mercy, although in our hearts we're like angry like anything, you know. But because we live in the society of devotees, we've developed that sort of, oh, it is Krishna's mercy. Anyway, every success story has a starting point. The point is that one has to really gain the wisdom to have this sort of vision of the Lord. Otherwise, by dint of our conditioning, we do see difference. It's inevitable. It's like you say, I see oneness between men and women. And then men and women start associating, and then trouble comes up. Or there's oneness between myself and the object of sex desire. So why do you see it as object of sex desire? Like I've often mentioned about my friend in the convenience store, Atma. He would always speak to me about how everything was absolutely one without difference. He was really into Mayavad. And whenever a beautiful woman would walk into the store, he would always be, and the store had like these four big circle mirrors. And so you can see what's going on in the store. So he would always be looking at those mirrors while this beautiful woman was in the store. And then she would leave. I would always catch him doing that, and I would ask him, I thought everything was one, so what difference does it make if... He said, everything is one, but sometimes my vision gets compromised, you know. I said, well, maybe your vision's already compromised and that just brought it out, you know. So then the point is that without having actually gained the... He had a lot of knowledge. He was a knowledgeable person, but he didn't have the lifestyle. He was totally attached to smoking marijuana and all sorts of things, you know. So he had the knowledge, but he didn't have the lifestyle, so he didn't have the perspective. He didn't really have the perspective. So that just simply on the strength of a feeling, say everything is one, without actually going through the austerity of really learning the knowledge. Just like at the same point, this conscious living program, they were most like yoga societies. Now the philosophy of yoga, in a lot of its ways, very much resembles Krishna consciousness in a lot of its premises. Some of their final conclusions are not the same as Krishna consciousness, but most of what they speak about is very much like Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it gets a cameo appearance in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6, because it makes up a bona fide system of spiritual development. But most of these yoga groups don't know much of the details of any of that spiritual knowledge. But they speak of yoga, they speak of becoming internally peaceful and self-satisfied without even knowing the difference between the Atma and the soul. Or if they know, not living a lifestyle that is conducive for its development, such as practicing celibacy, which is mandatory in the yoga system, and practicing worship of the Lord, which is also mandatory in the yoga system, and so on, many things are there. So anyway, just point that out. Although this verse is mentioning how Krishna is like the fire, and everything else is like the heat and light extending from the fire, so it's non-different from Krishna, it's one. And then Prabhupada takes the opportunity to throw in this topic about the holy name being not different from the Lord. So if you worship anything in one sense, you're worshiping the Supreme Lord. But according to the conception you have, you're going to get a different result. And Krishna speaks about this in Bhagavad Gita as well. That for those who deride me, their result is very bad, negative. Mogasha mukarmano, Krishna says. Their hopes are destroyed. Their fruit of activity is useless. Their knowledge is useless. And they'll become rakshasas and demons, you know, like that. Krishna's real heavy with them. If you worship Krishna with this sort of provisional pantheism, seeing everything as a manifestation of the absolute, then one can gradually move towards liberation. If one worships the devatas, not seeing them as gods, but not knowing them to be extensions of Krishna, then you attain samsara. So Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita that everyone is actually worshiping him, because everything is an expansion of himself only, in the form of his energy. So it's impossible for anyone not to worship Krishna. That's why we say that the Sanatana Dharma of all souls is service to Krishna. That means that you can't but serve Krishna. It's a Sanatana Dharma. So if someone asks you the question, well, I'm not serving Krishna. You guys are serving Krishna in your temple, but I'm doing something else. No, because everything is a manifestation of Krishna. You cannot but serve Krishna. But according to how you're conceiving of Krishna, as matter, as Brahman, as Paramatma, as Bhagavan, then the result of your worship will be totally different. Or let's say the result of your worship will be corresponding to your conception and in which you conduct your worship. And so here it's being mentioned that this vision of oneness is for those who are spiritually elevated. I like the verse, Bhavo Gina Tapasa Putama Bhavama Agata. Those who develop love for Krishna, they've gone through this austerity of knowledge, of learning from proper sources, of living the proper lifestyle, of gaining the spiritual vision that comes from the lifestyle, and not just sentimentally saying everything is one, which just leads to more and more sense gratification as we see today. Anyway, so I don't know why that came out, but it did. Anyone wants to add anything to that? See God as dead. Yeah. Yeah, Krishna speaks about that also in Gita. Okay, anything else? I'm going to move on. Anyone else wants to add anything or throw in a question? No? Okay, next verse. Prahlada Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Nrsingadev. May Lord Nrsingadev, roaring for his devotee Prahlada Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Nrsingadev protect us in all directions, in all corners, above, below, within, and without. He already prayed to Lord Nrsingadev earlier in the mantra, but again, he's praying to Lord Nrsingadev here. Perhaps for obvious reasons. The Lord Nrsingadev's form is a form for protecting his devotee. That's mentioned in the seventh canto. Next verse. Vishwarupa continued, O Indra, this mystic armor related to Lord Narayana has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of the demons. If one employs this armor, whomever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet is immediately free from all the above mentioned dangers. I wonder if there must be a conscious desire to benefit them, because if Indra sees all his enemies, I don't think he wants them to be benefited in this way. Anyway, so this seems like there must be some conscious desire to benefit others behind glancing at them. Otherwise, the demons would be benefited also by Indra looking at them. This prayer, Narayan Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayana. One who employs his prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or any type of disease. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kaushika formerly used his armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Surrounded by many beautiful women, Chittaratha, the king of Gandharva Loka, was once passing in his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had died. Oh. Suddenly, Chittaratha was forced to fall from the sky, head first with his airplane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sages named the Vailikyas to throw the Brahmana's bones in the nearby river Saraswati. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his own abode. So, I guess in other words, this armor is some serious stuff. It's got serious potency. Even after the Brahmana died, it was having such power. So then Sri Shuka speaks. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear Maharaj Parikshit, one who employs his armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid because of any condition in the material world, is immediately free from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwarupa. After conquering the demons, he enjoyed all the opulences of the three worlds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This mystical mantric armor given by Vishwarupa to Indra, the king of heaven, acted powerfully with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediments. In this regard, Madhavacharya points out, Vidya karmani cha sada, guru prapta pala prada, anyata naiva pala dha, prasan nokta pala prada. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, the mantras will not be fruitful. This is also indicated in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 34. Ta vidhi pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya, upadekshanti te jnanam, jnaninas tatudarshinaha. Quote, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. End quote. All mantras should be received through the authorized guru, and the disciple must satisfy the guru in all respects after surrendering at his lotus feet. In the Padma Purana, it is also said, Sampradaya vihina, ye mantras te nishpala mata. Therefore, sampradayas or disciple successions, namely the Brahma Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya, and the Kumara Sampradaya. If one wants to advance in spiritual power, one must receive his mantra from one of these bona fide sampradayas. Otherwise, he will never successfully advance in spiritual life. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Narayan Kavacha Shield. So, just as a point of a note, FYI, we generally do make a distinction in Krishna consciousness between Krishna mantra and the Krishna nam. This distinction is made by Lord Chaitanya himself. Krishna mantra refers to the various Gayatri mantras that you see some of the Brahmanas chanting on their Brahmanas thread, which they chant silently. So there is a distinction between Krishna mantra and Krishna nam. So anyone and everyone can chant Krishna nam, even without having received Krishna nam from a guru directly as such. In the sense that the mantra will be received with the guru reciting the mantra into one's right ear. Because it's a confidential mantra, it's meant to be kept confidentially. So the name of Krishna is not the same. Anyone and everyone can chant the name of Krishna. Of course, in order to come to the perfectional stage, it's described, written by many of our acharyas, the necessity of Sri Guru for elevating his consciousness to the pure devotional platform by which he can chant the pure holy name. Nevertheless, there's still a distinction between Krishna mantra and Krishna nam. Lord Chaitanya mentions that Krishna mantra will help one achieve the platform of liberation. When he's speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, the Krishna mantra will help one achieve to the platform of liberation, which for devotees refers to the stage of Swarup Siddhi, the stage of Bhav Bhakti, where one realizes his Swarup in relationship to the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna nam will help one to come all the way up to the lotus feet of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya said, which means Vastu Siddhi, or attaining the playful pastimes of the Lord. So Krishna, the idea, this, an example that I heard of this is very nice, is that you can imagine two circles, like a big circle. Can you picture it? You picture a big circle? And then within that big circle, there's a smaller circle. Can you picture that? So this smaller circle is like Krishna mantra. And this bigger circle is like the Krishna Nam. Understand? So the smaller circle, it doesn't stretch to the lowest point, and it doesn't stretch to the highest point. You understand? So unlike Krishna Nam. In other words, the Krishna mantra cannot be given to everyone. Their Krishna mantra is only given to those persons who are qualified for it. When the guru feels satisfied he is qualified, he will give him the Krishna mantra. So this Krishna mantra is like that middle circle. It doesn't stretch to the lowest point. Whereas Harinam does stretch to the lowest point. So it can be given even to the lowest of mankind, as we see in the modern day, in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Krishna Nam is given even to the lowest point, whereas Krishna mantra isn't. Similarly, Krishna mantra doesn't stretch to the highest point. It can't help you to attain Vastu Siddhi, as such, the complete perfection, in the same way that Krishna Nam can bring you to the lotus feet of Krishna. So the holy name is all-powerful, and that also Krishna mantra is consisting of the holy names of Krishna as well. So Krishna Nam is all-powerful because it can stretch to the lowest point and bring a person to the highest point. Whereas Krishna mantra can't stretch to the lowest point. You have to be qualified to receive it. And it brings one to the platform, effectively to the platform of Bhav Bhakti. And from there, when one's chanting, continues his chanting of Harinam, that Harinam mantra will bring him to the lotus feet of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya speaks about this in chapter 7, Adi Leela, to Prakashananda Saraswati. So there is a difference between Krishna mantra and Krishna Nam. And as far as the mantras are concerned, the mantras have to be received from the guru. You can't just read a mantra in a book and receive it. Because along with the mantra is coming the spiritual conception of the guru. It's like the mantra is laced with the love of the spiritual master. So when he recites a mantra into the ear, you're not just getting the sound vibration of the mantra or Krishna Nam, but you're getting the name of Krishna laced with the love of the guru. And that's what's coming inside one's heart when one is open to the vibration. And therefore, it is most, you cannot, the books are passive. You just read a mantra. It's not laced with anything but your mental concoctions. Understand? You understand? So you have to receive the mantra from the guru, because with that mantra comes his love also entering to one's heart and inspiring one's Krishna consciousness like that. Therefore, the injunction to receive initiation from guru is a strong one. Anyway, so I just, that's always like a FYI. There is a distinction between Krishna mantra and Krishna Nam. Anyone wants to say anything final? Any final? When a guru, at the time of initiation. Generally, Diksha, when does a disciple receive the mantra from the guru? The simple answer is when the guru feels that he's ready for it, simply put. And the way we apply the process of initiation and the Saraswat line, starting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, is we have what we call a Harinam initiation. And then second initiation is technically referred to as Diksha. So there was a distinction made. There was like Harinam initiation, where one receives the name from Guru and the instruction to chant Harinam. And then later on, when the Guru felt he was purified by his chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, and has developed his spiritual eye, his spiritual wisdom a little bit, then the guru, being satisfied with him, will give him the mantra, along with worship of the deity, to which the mantra is propitiating. So when the guru is satisfied with you, he will give diksha, which means the mantra, along with the deity worship, for propitiating the deity of the mantra. Like that, one can read, we have been doing a little reading from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Pancha Samskara essay, which speaks of the five purificatory activities in the process of initiation. The first two being tapa and punja. I'm not going to go through all the details, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it very beautifully and elaborately. So there was repentance, that's called as tapa. Then there was punja, udra punja, which means the process of renunciation for attaining the Supreme Lord. And then there was Nama. The Guru gives the name, a name of Lord Hari, indicating oneself as a servant of Lord Hari, such as Haridas, you know, like that, Jai Jagannath Das, and Nandaprana Das, like that. A name indicating one is a servant of Hari, and also chant the name of Hari. And then there was Mantra, was the fourth, and the Samskara, in the process of initiation. And then Yaga. Yaga is the fifth. Yaga refers to deity worship. the fifth samskara and the process of initiation. So in the Saraswat line, we've divided this process in like, kind of like two divisions. The first three and then the last two. So first is like Harinam initiation, and then there's Diksha, where one receives the mantra from the guru. And so when in ISKCON now, I think they're going to have some sort of rules where everyone who receives Diksha, they would have had to at least take Bhakti Shastri and a few other things. But really, it's when the guru feels that the disciple is ready for such commitment, then he will give him the mantra. He has to see that he is purified by his chanting of holy name of Krishna and so on, serious about spiritual life. Yeah. Yeah. No, Jitendra Prabhu.
I was thinking of protection here. This chapter talks a lot about protection, and I was thinking, I don't know, maybe some devotees have a clearer understanding than I, but I remember, I think it was in the Lilamrita that Brahmananda Swami was talking to Srila Prabhupada about Pakistan, and Prabhupada says, yes, Krishna gives special protection if you go to Pakistan. So they were in Karachi, I think, and there was a roadblock, and the guards were separating the devotees in, you know, different groups, and saying, well, these people are going to go to jail, and these people, you know, well, they might even be put to death. So the devotees are just chanting, and does anybody remember the story?
No.
Maybe you might have it a little bit.
Not a part.
Oh, okay.
So when the guards ask all the passengers to get off the bus, and they're pointing their guns at the devotees, I think Brahmananda Swami turned to the other devotee and said, Prabhu, put your hand in your bead bag. We're going back to Godhead.
That was such a unique situation. Another thing I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving names to devotees, you know, maybe he gave you those names because there was something lacking in your character, and then if you're constantly reminded of your name, then you would have something to live up to. Like myself, I was completely uncontrolled. I guess I still could be in that category, but he gave you the name Jitendriya, which means one who controls. So
his senses.
Probably thinking I had a lot to, you know, resolve in my character in order to come up to the definition of that name. And I remember there was this one devotee, he was very tall, and the devotees said, this is the name of this devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And he looked at him, and the guy's like, his name is, he says, no, his name is Jamavan. He is just like 7 feet tall, you know, guy. And I'm sure there's other names, you know, the course of, you know, people's character or lack of, but that just came to mind.
Sure, yeah.
Before initiation, there was one devotee by the name Hans Kari.
Mm.
He was German. Hans Kari. So when he got initiated, Prabhupada gave him the name Hamsaduta Adhikari. He kept the Hans and Kari right at the ends of the name. And no one knew the name Hamsaduta. They all knew the name like Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda. No one had heard the name Hamsaduta. So he wanted to know. And it was Prabhupada was trying to also teach him a lesson. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, where does this name Hamsaduta appear? And Prabhupada, in whatever mood he was in, he said, in the Bhagavatam. So it left him bewildered because now he had to scan through 12 cantos to find out where that name is. So he waited some time. And then he asked, maybe he should ask differently. Then he went back to Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, who is Hamsaduta? And Prabhupada said, you are. So finally he had to give up and said, yes, Baba.
One other thing is Prabhupada, George Harrison, he says, you are Hari's son.
Yeah, when George Harrison wanted to take initiation, and Prabhupada said, you were already initiated, Hari's son. Okay then, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.